So we're talking about relentless pursuit tonight. I told you I was going to talk about tonight why we seek God. This morning we was talking about the benefits. And I'm going to talk about some more benefits tonight, but I'm just going to try to hurriedly just speak through some whys. And I believe each one of these whys are self-explanatory. I think they're pretty well, you'll understand. But in our pursuit of God, so we're looking for those that will pursue God. Now go to that third slide, if you would. And that's what I want you to know. This is our general idea of a person, the third one. Back up. No, way, 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 way back up. Way, way back up. Back up. It's about like me. Lane doesn't like me to drive in reverse. She's always afraid I'm going to hit something. And so, you go all the way back to the very first of my slide presentation, if you would. And just keep walking back there. And we'll get back there to the third slide. Because that's the general. Keep going. Back one up to write the third slide in the slide presentation there. But because it kind of exhibits, I think we're froze up. That thing does freeze. A lot of times I sit here and say, y'all go to the next one. And they say, I can't, Pastor, it's froze. You know, it's frozen up on me. So I think that let's go down to that third slide if we would. We'll just drop to the third slide. And because it's just so... We need to grow in our idea of our pursuit of God. Because unless we do, we got it so cut out and so cookie cuttered. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord, if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into a pursuit of the Lord that's really going to bring wonderful new things in our life, we're going to have to get out of the cookie cutter. Because the Holy Spirit is not that. The Holy Spirit looks at each one of us individually, working us, bringing us into a closer place with God. In fact, my pursuit is going to be somewhat different than your pursuit. Todd, that's what you and I talked about the other day, that our pursuits will be different. Our pursuits will be something, but the Holy Spirit is individual with all of us, and it's the one for us. That's why we can't compare ourselves with each other, because the Bible says this is totally unwise. And so what we do want to do, we want to allow the Holy Spirit. That's usually our idea right there of a pursuit of the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you, that is a mature pursuit of the Lord. That is a mature pursuit of the Lord. That is a good picture. I love pictures in everything I do. When I'm going to believe God for something else, first thing I want to do is get scriptures and pictures. But that's a mature. But what happens is so many times that because we have various battles in our life, that we kind of lose hold. And if we don't feel like we measure up to that picture, then we feel like there's no pursuit for us. And I want you to know, there's just the Holy Spirit is never at question in getting us close to God. He always has a wonderful way to move on us and bring us close to Lord. And Luke chapter 12, our powerful scripture there, 31, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and he will give you everything. So go to the next slide if you would. So what we want to do then, we want to get another idea. We want to allow the Lord to expand our idea of pursuing God. Now in Psalms chapter 14, verse 2. He says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. See, what he says, understanding. Understanding what? Understanding that God is the full source. Me understanding that there's nothing in my life that will work without God. Me coming to a spiritual understanding of my life. That I may have tried everything in the world, but if anything's going to work, there's one answer to it, and that is to seek God. And so the Bible says that the Lord, His eyes are looking on us right now. God's eyes are in this building right here. And He's looking down upon us to see if there's anyone that truly understands there's desperate need for God. And that will go on a marvelous journey toward the pursuit of God and seeking God. I always say seeking God until, and I don't like that. Because it's not a seeking God until, it's not seeking God till I get healed. It's not seeking the Lord till I get peace in my mind. It's not seeking God it's a lifetime of seeking God. Amen. The Lord just expects us to enjoy it so much. And I want to tell you, how many of you have found it much more enjoyable now than when you started the trip? And it grows. It's a progression. And that doesn't mean that you have to enjoy praise, because right now you may start off. I remember how hard it was for me to be in praise and worship when I was first saved. It was extremely difficult. I could not. I would try and try. And I would stand in a big crowd and I would hope that nobody would see me. And it was very hard for me to get my hands up this high. And then when I get my hands up this high, I had to look around and see if anybody was looking at me. Because you understand that that's just, we're all starting at different places. Amen. And but the Lord is never, never up against the wall in our life. And that's one of the major things in our pursuit of God, is to know that God's never up against the wall. We always feel like we're up against the wall. We come into a situation that's got to change. But God's never up against the wall, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him to follow Him, and He will bring you to victory. God will do that. Now, it's important that we do that. I tell you, one of the major realizations that needs to take place, I believe, in all of our lives, we need to realize the goodness of God. Because in the goodness of God, you no longer fear God. You're willing to trust. God, I don't understand. Lord, I understand that they said that this marriage is over. But I trust You, God. I trust You. I believe You have an understanding that far exceeds my understanding. You're a good God, and You're never leading me to an end. You're always leading me to a new beginning for the glory of the Lord. And you got to have that kind of confidence in the Lord. Now, who's Carolyn Leaf? I believe it is that Dr. Carolyn Leaf that's doing such a wonderful thing. That Gateway now has been across the country in her teaching. But one of the major things she says is, when a situation first hits you, you make a decision at that moment. Is it either good or bad? The moment it hits you, she said, you make a decision, is either good or bad. And said, if you determine that it's bad, that immediately it's going to release bad toxins into you. But if you will make a decision, and the only way you can do that is trust the goodness of God. Because we're not in magical spells either. I don't believe all things are just good. But I do believe God can make anything good. And so whatever situation that we hit or whatever situation we face, we can at that moment say, you know what? I can trust God here. And I believe that God is going to bring me forth. Psalms chapter 14, verse 2, it says, the Lord looks down from heaven to see if there's any that seek God. Psalms 27 and 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Notice what speaks there. Your heart. Your flesh is not going to be able to do that. And one of the major ways in growing close to the Lord, to become strengthened in your heart, where you can begin to obey the dictates of your heart. That's not where you start. You start being run by your flesh. And you hope to intertwine every once in a while. But when God really begins to, you're going to really begin to grow in your spiritual life when you come to a place to where your heart is strong enough to make some decisions about your life. And you allow your heart. See, because the Lord said, seek my face. That's what God is saying to all of us. But it's my heart. Because immediately my flesh says, I wonder what I'm going to lose. I wonder what I'm going to have to give up. I wonder how many games I'm going to miss. I mean, immediately your flesh will begin to say that. But see, it's not your flesh that can respond to that. It's your heart. Now, some people have, because they've never listened to their heart, they've listened to their feelings, or they've listened to their flesh. Because of that, then their heart really is so weak inside them. And that may be where the Lord starts your journey. It may be right there where you simply say, David, Lord, strengthen my heart. Make strong my heart. I want you to tell you, God's, and our pursuing God, one of the greatest and most wonderful things that God does is strengthen us for the journey. You can find that all the way back in Kings, and Elijah running from Jezebel, and such a mighty man of the Lord. But he finds himself out in the desert, depressed. And I don't care how strong you are in the Lord, you're going to have those moments. And he had those moments. But at those moments is what we do that would determine our outcome. Amen. At those moments when everything tells you that it's gone, this is too bad, this is not going to change. At those moments, you must allow God. What happened at that moment was, he knew he did not have the strength in him to pursue God. He knew if he could get to the mountain of God, could hear God's voice again, his life would work. Because it is the voice of God that takes the sting out of everything. The old devil serves like a hornet and tries to sting our whole life. And it's the voice of God that takes us in. But the journey to get there is well worth it if it takes you 6 minutes, 6 seconds, or 6 years. The journey is well worth it to get close to the Lord. And so on his journey there, what Elijah's allowed the Lord to do, God's faithful. I'm going to tell you what, if you got to pursue it in heart, if you're saying, Lord, help me. And that's why David prayed, Lord, strengthen my heart. Strengthen my heart to pursue you. When David prayed that, but Elijah allowed that, and God always, immediately, the Lord sent angels, and they cooked or they made food, and Elijah ate angel food. Now, I don't know about you, but the Bible said that angel food gave him strength for the journey. I don't know about you, but I know I've been several times where the Lord fed me angel food. I knew I was so weak, I could not continue my pursuit toward the Lord. It was either too discouraged. At those moments is what we do. If we turn toward the Lord and say, God, you are big enough to handle me. Not only are you big enough, God, to handle it, you are big enough to handle me. At those moments, if we will look toward the Lord, God will feed you with some angel food. And God will put a strength in you that will strengthen you for the journey to get you to the place where you can hear his voice. Amen. So it's just so vital that you know that God is running this whole thing. The only part that's been a cranky cogwheel has been me. The Lord is running. If I'm saying to God, and always say that, Lord, I'm pursuing you, the Lord. So let's go on. We'll keep talking. All right. The first reason is because of the call. We talked about that. The second reason is because that my life needs him. The third reason is for my family. The third reason I need to pursue God is because families cannot exist without the power of God. Families will not make it. Every family must have a captain of the ship. Or what I say, every family must have a head. Now, the head of a family is looking from the Hebrew word, the word for father, is the word Abba. And the word Abba is a picture. It's a picture because the Hebrew language is pictures. Originally, it was pictures before it was ever given classification of letters. And what's a picture of? It's a picture of an ox. And God calls that the head of the family. We think it should be a saber-toothed tiger, right? Or something like that. But God said it's ox. It's a picture of someone in that family that will be willing to carry the heavy load. And in every family, the families can't exist without that person. And much more as we see the time approaching, Jesus says. And so you've just got to determine, you may not be recognized in your family as the authority. You may not be recognized in this church as an authority. There may not be any flesh, any person, everybody recognize, but God will recognize you. And when you move in with the Lord, God will recognize your place. And when you stand before the Lord and you just say, God, I'm not going to let the devil do this to my family. I'm not. Every family has to have that. And you be that one. Every family needs a head. See, we all say we're the head. And we also know who the neck is too, right? But every family. But you be that servant bearer. You be the one that's, Lord, this load can't get too tough for you and I can't tote it. It can't get too rough for you and I can't carry it, God. We can handle this, Lord. I can bring it to you and give it to you. And so we determine, amen, to be there. All right, and then for the fourth reason why. The fourth reason is because for this time and this season that we're in, the time demands it. We're in a season, I know, and I believe prayer changes everything. And I believe that God will always make a way for his people. And I don't believe God has given up on this nation. And I believe with all of my heart that there are churches lit up across this nation today with love for Jesus Christ. Amen. And as long as that's there, God's going to continue to smile and love on this nation. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to judge this nation. But that does mean when he judges, it's not to punish. It's to pull a nation back toward God. And it's to wake up in my life the same way. See, there's good judgments and bad judgments. I mean, judgment's not bad in the sense. There's good judgments and bad judgments. If a judgment corrects my life to bring me in line so God can bless me, that's a great judgment. Amen. So judgments aren't necessarily bad in any kind of way. But we can always know this. God will take care of us. His church. God is our supply. Amen. It's not Uncle Sam. That's going to shock some of you. But it's not Uncle Sam. He's not the provider. Jesus is his name. And he's our provider. Amen. So, just go to that next slide real quick. So we don't know kind of what it holds here. But we can trust the Lord. But we do know, as we pray and we believe the Lord, for God to once again visit. I do believe God is dealing. I believe God is working. I believe God is trying to help. Matthew chapter 24:3, it says, "What sign will signal your return?" And I tell you, this world is not going to get better. This world is being used up. You know that, don't you? It's being used up. And one day it's going to be used up to the place it will all burn up. And then we will get a new earth. God will create a new earth for us. And so this thing is going to be, and man, it is what it is. I mean, the lust has just pulled resources out of this thing that we've been living on, and the process is going to change. And the Lord said these things, and that's why Matthew chapter 24 is so good, because it lets you know what's going to be happening in this nation. All right, then verse 6 says, of Matthew 24, it says, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic," it says. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. And then in verse 10 it says, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people," what he says. I mean, these times are going to come. This is prophetic. God told the future that these things are going to take place. And you can read through Matthew 24. You can read in the book of Luke. I mean, there's so much prophetic scripture that is a third of the Bible is prophecy. A third of the Bible is foretelling the future. And it's only 80% of it has already been fulfilled. 80%. We're coming down to the last 20% of prophecy that is to be fulfilled. So I'm telling you what, there's going to be some rough times out here. But I tell you what, I've still got a Savior and I've still got a Lord. And if you will just determine that in your family, that I will be that head, I will be that servant, I will be the one that will keep my family before God. I will be the one that will continue to care the Lord. Now in Luke chapter 21, verse 36 says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." What's that talking about? Do you not realize it's going to be so important during this last day to hear from God? And I'll be honest with you, that there's just going to be believers all over this world, many of them that are not hearing from God. And it's going to be really important that in every family there be that one that was pursued and could hear God. Because God will take care of us. Amen. God knows if there's a terrorist bomber going to be at Little Rock this week. God knows if there's a terrorist bomber going to be wherever. God understands. God in His great foreknowledge knows where the next bomb is going to blast. God in His foreknowledge knows where the next shooting is going to happen. And His great foreknowledge, He's certainly not the cause of any of that, but in His great foreknowledge. And the Bible says it's just so important. It's so important that we be at a place with God to where that we can hear from God. The circumstances that we're going through now that's forcing us to hear from God are going to seem like baby work one day. Because things one day are going to get so serious that we're hearing from God won't mean whether I maybe get to pay that bill or not. Hearing from God is going to mean whether my family gets to live or not. So it's just so vital and important that we come to that place. Luke chapter 21 verse 26, it says, "People will be terrified at what they're seeing upon the earth, for the powers in heaven will be shaken." And then 28 says, "So when all these things happen, stand up and look up." Stand up and look up. And that's what God is trying to get us to do. And what God's told us to do is stand and look up. And it's just real important that you come to a place of knowing where your faith is. That's why I'm saying on this journey of seeking God, the powerful Holy Spirit is leading us in to a closer place with God. And so it's no cookie cutter way of getting there, but it's the trust of God that God's going to help me come to that place where I can hear God. And I believe the Lord is going to draw us to a place where it's not just hearing God on the important issues. Now, let me tell you what. The Lord, you may be a person that can hear from God every day. Now, there are many in this church that do hear the voice of the Lord every day. But God usually will not allow them to hear the voice of God for you. That's what we call gifts of the Spirit. And that, the Bible said, operates as the Spirit wills. But the Bible does say there's always a voice for you. There's always a voice of the Lord for you in your dilemma, in your situation, in your circumstance, in what you're going through. There's always God that wants to speak into that situation for the glory of God. So the Bible says, it says, stand up and look up. That's the two things we're supposed to do, is stand and look up, what the Bible says. When you see these things come to pass, when these things are happening in this world, make a stand and look up. That says two things. It means straighten up in faith. One version says straighten up. It means quit bowing over. Quit letting these things get you down. Realize, I'm a big God. I'm a great God. I'm a mighty God. Quit letting these things get you down. If they're getting you down, that's because you think you've got to handle it. God says, you don't have to handle it. I am the handler of life, God says. And so the Lord says, straighten up. Give me your burden. Cast your care upon me. Cast your burden upon me. I am able to carry it. Amen. So what the Lord said is, straighten up. Don't be bowed over. Don't be bowed over with care. Learn to give thanks to God. Learn to pray and release them to God. Unless you learn to pray and release things to God, you will never ever have peace in your life, and you will never really experience joy. We've got to be able to come into a place of the Lord to where we're able to pray about things, and we're able to release them to the Lord, and we move into an area of not worrying about them. Now, As the voice of God is coming more dear to you, it's going to come in several stages as you pursue God. Well, one of the stages that has to be to set the stage for hearing the voice of God is you must give place to Scripture. If you're not going to seek Scripture, then God's not going to be able to speak into your life where you will be able to know it's God. You will be confused. You will be always confused with voices if you don't give yourself to Scripture. That's why Bible study is so important. Scripture memorization is so important, because it's just of vital importance. Unless you get a background of Scripture in you, you're not going to be able to distinguish what's the voice of God and what's not the voice of God. I don't believe you come to a place to where that's not confusing in the natural. And so what you have to do, you have to come to a place in Scripture where it goes beyond the current Scripture and goes into the nature of God. Because, see, God changes not. You've got to come to a place where you have these absolutes in your life that of what God is and who God is. And that only comes by way of Scripture. As you do studies and you search through, but people are saying, well, God's out there doing bad things. You don't understand the Word. You don't have enough Scripture in you to find the nature of God. If you're scared, God's going to get you. I know God was just waiting to get me all this time. You don't have enough Scripture in you to give you the nature of God. Because somewhere in what God's building in us is Scripture. And then it becomes the revelation of His nature. And when it becomes a revelation of His nature, you're coming close to the place to be able to distinguish the voices that are speaking to you. And people that even say that they can't hear God, they've been hearing God. The problem is they've been hearing confusing voices. And you hadn't been able to decipher what's God and what's not God. It's the truth. What happens is, because if you don't have enough Scripture in you, you can't decipher it. But if you will fill your life, if you will just give yourself to learning Scripture, and somebody say, well, how many have to learn? You have to learn 10 verses, 20 verses, 50 verses, 100 verses? Yes, 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 yes. I don't know. All that. All through that process of that. The Holy Spirit will begin to reveal His nature to you, though. as you put Scripture in your heart. And there will be a time in your life that where the voices no longer will be confusing, to where that when God is speaking to your heart, you can readily say, that's God's nature. I know that's God. And you can readily say, that's not God. That's not His nature. Because God never speaks to you and contrary to His nature. Amen? So in the process, I don't know where I am. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20, it says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. The Bible says during this day, there's going to be a shaking to where everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. So things that cannot be shaken will remain. And you got to know, there's a shaking. This world is going to shake. I mean, it's going to be a shaking, but God's going to remain stable for those that can move with God, those that can hear God. And so I just want to really encourage your heart. Now, let me, the fifth way is, the fifth reason is because our church must have spiritual leaders. The reason we need to pursue God, our church must have spiritual leaders. Our church must have it. I mean, I get so fed up with people talking business deals on church. I mean, you may be really prosperous in business and you fall flat when it comes to spiritual things. What God is looking for is spiritual men that will not just voice opinions, men and women. Let me say, God's looking for men and women that you've learned to restrain. I told you the other night that there's two growths in the Holy Spirit. One is unction and the other one is restraint. And some people have unction, but they can't be used by God because they have no restraint. They can't restrain their flesh. They can't pull their flesh out of things. It's hard for them to see anything. Although they're saved and love God and they have unction of the Holy Spirit, they can't see anything that's apart from them. They've got to intermingle them in. Well, I remember when I did, or I remember when, let me tell you, God's doing a new thing. It doesn't matter what you and I did. What matters is what is God doing now. And during this day and hour, we got to have spiritual men and women. Spiritual men and women that realize that I've got to have a voice of the Lord. And you just determine in your heart that I won't move until God moves me. I'll make a stand until God moves me. And so the fifth reason we've got to pursue God is because you've got to have a spiritual pastor. You've got to have a spiritual pastor. That's why I've got to seek God, pursue God. It's the fifth reason I've got to pursue God, because you've got to have a spiritual pastor. And I've got to have spiritual friends. And we got to be a spiritual family. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that. Amen. God's got to do this. And it comes apart. People that's able to realize there's an unction of the Holy Spirit and there's also a restraint. God doesn't want me to mix my flesh with what He's got. It becomes impure. If I mix my flesh with what God is saying, it's impure. It's an impurity. I could prove that to you in just a little bit tonight. I could go in here into one of these toilets that someone has used, and I could get you a good fresh drink of water. And I'd say, Todd, go in there and get me one drop, just one drop, Todd, just one drop out of that toilet. And if I was to drop it in that water, and then I invited you to take a drink, how many would take a drink? One drop of you would ruin the whole thing. You hear me? One drop of you. One drop of you will ruin what God's trying to do for you. So we have to come to a place like, man, and you don't come here overnight. You know that. You've got a pastor that's on a journey, and I believe you've got some leaders and elders that are on a journey. And what we want you to come on us on this marvelous journey. I don't think we're ready to face what is coming on this world. I don't think we're ready to face what's going to try to come on our families and what's going to try to come on us individually. But we will be ready. If we're pursuing God, we will be ready. We will be ready for the glory of God. Amen. Leaders that lead us to the cross, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Notice what Jesus did. He did two things. He did good and He healed. Amen. Two things. He did good and He healed. you know, when Stephen was walking us through the fruit of the Spirit, one of those fruits of the Spirit was the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. We had no idea how important that is. That's the nature of God taken out of Himself, placed inside you. There's not a one of us here tonight that does not have that available to us. The goodness of God, you know what the goodness of God it is? It's most of the time that we think about the goodness of God, that when you see somebody that's in need, you help them, giving to them. Well, it's two aspects of it. It's good enough to help somebody. And then the second aspect is staying in a place with God so God can give you so you can help somebody. That's goodness. You and I can't be good unless God's our supply. You and I can't be good unless God is our supply. There's no natural way to do this. The goodness of God, the two things that Jesus changed the world with, His ministry, was goodness and healing. And you're going to find that's where most people need to start their journey in their pursuit of God, is in that healing side. Healing side of Jesus. Because I tell you what, a lot of us are just too sick for the journey. But the Lord is the healer. The Lord is the stabilizer. The Lord is the strengthener of all our life. So a lot of times, the journey of closer to God simply starts by, heal me, O Lord. Heal me, O God. Lee, if you would quickly, or who I believe is Brother Lee, if you would walk them through there. Leaders that help others find spiritual paths. That's what we got to have. Leaders that help others. That's why this church, desperately, we need to pursue God, because we need leaders that will help others, and we need leaders that will help others receive. We need leaders that help others believe. We need those. We need that kind of leadership. We need that kind of leadership in families, and we need that kind of leadership in this church. And the last reason why, the last why is our nation will not continue to survive without spiritual men and women rising up, bowing for a sinless God, and asking God to save us again. And I believe that's what's happening right now. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of confidence in either side of the ticket. Now, I will vote one, and I will pray, and I will vote one. But I do have confidence that men and women that across this nation are standing with outstretched hands to God, saying, God, heal us, heal us, heal us, heal us, oh God, heal us, oh God. Forgive us for our sins and heal this nation, oh God. As long as there's one that is raised, as long as there's one that is raised, as long as there's one that is raised, there's help from God. As long as there's one that is raised, as long as there's one that is raised, as long as there's one that is raised, there's help from God. You be that one. Let's stand together tonight. Now, these are a few reasons why I need to pursue. I need to think about it because God called me to. So, Lord, He said, seek my face. And what does my heart say?
Your face, Lord. See.
What does His heart say?
Your face, Lord.
My flesh doesn't say that, but my heart says that. My heart says, Your face will I seek, O God. Family needs it. my family won't survive without a pursuit of God from somebody. Your church desperately needs it. Because this church will not continue to march forth or continue to be a blessing in anybody's life without a passionate pursuit toward God. And this nation desperately needs us not to criticize and not to condemn and not to be a part of those that sling mud, but this nation desperately needs us to raise our hands before God and say, God, I believe you're still big enough. I still believe you're strong enough. Praise God. If you need the pursuit of the Lord, won't you just take your little hands right there. If you sense in your life the need for that, that God would some way prompt you, just raise that little hand before the Lord and say, God, I am willing. I don't know if I'm ready, and I'm probably not strong enough, but I'll eat angel food. I will pursue you. I may not be able to pursue like everybody else, God. I may not be on the same plane they are. But you see me where I am, and you love me right here, don't you, Lord? You also see where you're going to carry me to. So, God, carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord, close to you, Lord.